October 30th, 1986, Chuck Coffey and Marcia Ripp interviewing Blanche Greenberger.
Want me to say my name is Blanche Greenberger, and I live at Sherwood Towers, 230 North Craig Street, apartment 805. No. Birthdate is June 26, 1910. I was the oldest of three children. My two brothers, Isidore and Mike, came after me. My father was from Austria. My mother was from Odessa, Russia. They met in Pittsburgh. My father was 7 years older than my mother. My mother felt that was a very good kind of age difference for a husband and wife to have. She was strictly a homemaker. She had no formal education, either in Russia or in this country. My father came from a family that, according to my uncles, had two well-known writers in its group of people that were related. One was Arnold Zweig, who wrote the famous Case of Sergeant Grisha, which was required reading when I was at Pitt. And the other was, I've forgotten the name of the other Zweig. Do you by any chance remember his name? Oh, he was so famous. It'll come to me. At any rate, he was a man, unfortunately, who suffered much during the Holocaust and apparently at one point couldn't take it anymore. And according to my uncles who told me the story, he committed suicide. My father came by way of Frankfurt, Germany to this country. He was a custom tailor on the order of Berman Brothers in the Union Trust Building in Pittsburgh. They had wanted him to come work for them when he came into this country, but he preferred to work on his own. My mother, who was 12 when she came by herself from Russia to the United States, where she was joining an older sister, had various jobs as a young girl. But she was best, I guess, as a homemaker, because my brothers and I were very happy being with her at home. Though they neither had any formal education, the one thing that they wanted for their three children was a college education. My brother Iz and I had that. He worked in pharmacies because he intended to become a pharmacist. Believe it or not, worked in playing the piano at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, where I made all of 25 cents an hour. I was 13 years old, and I worked there for many years for Miss Ella Wertheimer, who was the dancing teacher. I also got a job up at Heinz Hall on the campus, working summer times at the the dancing periods that they had for their students. And at that time, I think they were paying a dollar an hour to me. And so that I was taking my courses at Pitt, I was working at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, and I was working at the University of Pittsburgh all at the same time. And in addition, since I felt I needed more than I was getting, I took jobs working at the McCreary's department store and a Gimbel's department store, where I ran pretty good sized books because I was an eager beaver in those days, anxious to do as good a job as I could. I always loved music, so that as a result, when my father told me that he would buy a piano if I would promise to take lessons and practice every day, which I did, and I had a very nice piano teacher whose name I still remember. He was a Mr. Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R, from Troy Hill. And I can remember this big, kindly man who came once a week and charged 25 cents a visit. My mother also saw that he had a good hearty dinner before he left for home every night. My father was very friendly with my mother's brother, whose name was Samuel Krantz, K-R-A-N-T-Z, and subsidized him in various operations down in the Lower Hill, where my uncle had a number of businesses. And another uncle of mine, who was Louis Zweig, and the two men shared a room in our home, and they went out together to sell whatever it was that they sold, like cigars and stuff like that on the road. But we were a very closely knit family, and my father liked his brother and brother-in-law enough that he was willing to finance them in whatever work endeavor they felt they could handle. My Uncle Lou was quite a well-to-do man at the time. He stopped working, and all of his children had college educations, mainly at CMU, though one son became a doctor, Dr. Neil Zweig. My Uncle Sam, my mother's brother, who was a brother-in-law to my father, always had grandiose ideas. He wanted to be the best contractor in the world, and he bought a lot of land, saving, of course, everything that he earned before that, in addition to what he got from my father. And he bought land out in Desert Hot Springs, near Palm Springs in California. And to this day, my uncle's wife and son still have acreage left from what my uncle bought, and they built whole cities over a period of 40 years or more. My own ambitions had been to take law courses. However, when my father and I discussed it as to how much it would cost to go through all these courses, we decided that I would have to continue to work if I was to go on and continue in school at Pitt. However, I didn't go to law school at Pitt. I went to law school at night so that I could work during the day. And at night I went to Duquesne Law School. I enjoyed it, but I probably would have enjoyed going during the daytime full time if I had been able to manage that. I went to a cram course in Philadelphia in 1950. All of the students at the various law schools usually did that. It was kind of a brush-up course that would help one get through the bars much more easily. And fortunately, I made good enough grades that I could do very well in law school and make the necessary grades. But I decided for some reason or other that I was not going to go on with it. I was married to a lawyer the first time, Pat Greenberger, and he was really anxious for me to finish and to join him, but I never did. I was a non-practicing lawyer. I still am today. I took my bars in 1950, and I have been a member of the bar since that time. I, however, as a result of being married to a lawyer who had founded the Franklin Federal Savings and Loan in Squirrel Hill, I had the opportunity then to go with my husband on various applications that were made for mortgages and so forth from Franklin Federal, and I learned a lot about housing and about what was needed by people in the area of replacements when they bought houses, what they had to do and so forth. After they had finished with Pat finding out what it was going to cost them to have a mortgage and so forth, there were a number of brokers active in the area, in Squirrel Hill and Oakland and downtown, who were most kind to me and who helped me on my way, because I decided at that point that I liked working with real estate, and I decided to make that my occupation. I was one of three women in the East End Squirrel Hill area, Mary Lewis and City Smith, who worked with Kelly Wood, and myself. A couple of the big agencies, or what was considered big in those days during the Depression, offered me jobs as manager of their offices, but I preferred to work by myself, and I did for the next 30 years. I met many marvelous people, not only from out of town, but from in town. I found that the community in general in Squirrel Hill was a very warm, friendly community, and I did like very much working there. I had an office up on Murray Avenue across from the post office for about 30 years, perhaps. At any rate, I had a very wonderful staff of people who worked with me, and some who, when I retired a few years ago, had been with me for over 20 years. A number of them were with me 12 and 14 years. But we all got along fine, though we were women, and people predicted all kinds of horror stories about working with women, but there was no problem at all. The women were great, and the women knew exactly what other women were looking for in housing, so that as a result, women suddenly became very big in the housing field, and as a result, at this time of day, customers prefer going out with women to buy residential real estate. Men still, for the most part, stick to commercial, but women are the ones who really control the buying of a house for the family, and usually where it's to be located and how large it's to be, etc. Men will call in inspectors to go through the property in order to find out that everything's okay, that the furnaces are in good shape, and that the electrical wiring and everything else is as it should be. Excuse me, is there anything else about my work or whatever I've talked about that you want me to fill out more?
I kind of have just let you run on. I think you're going over your life so quickly at this point that maybe we'll digress, slow up a little bit, expand on things you've said and so forth. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You spoke of, you know, your home. You were happy being at home with your mother and so forth. What kind of home did you have in terms of religion, culture, discipline, economics, whatever?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that I was a child of the Depression, so that as a result, though my father had done very well and had retired at the age of 50, he thought he had enough money to take care of his family the rest of his life. As it turned out, he didn't. But we had a very warm relationship. I was crazy about my brothers. They were both tennis stars at Alderdice, and my one brother, Izzy, was also a star basketball player for Alderdice. But in our household, we had a fourth child. My mother's sister, to whom she had come, left a two-year-old child when she died that my mother and father raised. She was like a sister to me. And I saw her at the funeral this past week. She came in from Denver, where she lives. She's a Phi Beta Kappa from Colorado, who went back to school after her husband had died. He had been in five campaigns in World War II, and the two of them had decided by mail that they were going to live someplace in a marvelous climate, and that they were going to not live in Pittsburgh when they came back, which I know was a disappointment to my mother. But at any rate, Bert and her husband settled on Denver by mail, and when Irv Spector from Butler came back, they were married, and she went with him to Denver to live. All her children got college educations. That was very important in my family. My uncles and my parents all felt that education was the key to moving up, and they felt that we needed that kind of a background. They went to symphonies all the time, the operas and so forth. And fortunately, with both my husbands, I had men who cared about going to the symphony and the opera, to the whatever came into town at the Y music series, or, you know, that kind of thing. And after my second husband, who was a doctor, whom I had met while I was at Pitt, and he came to Pitt Medical School, and we married in 79, even though we had met prior to 33, simply because I wouldn't move to a small town. He lived in the Wampum area, if you ever heard of that, above Newcastle, and I just wouldn't go there. So I married Pat Greenberger, and he married a girl from Newcastle who was a school teacher there. And we had 5 years together. It was very lovely, very nice. And I'm very friendly with my two, I don't like calling them stepdaughters, but he had two daughters with whom I'm very close. He had a grandson from one of the daughters, and they come here. Andy has been here and stayed here. He's very involved with B'nai B'rith at his college. And
what is your second husband's name?
Oh, didn't I give it? I'm sorry. Dr. Gerald Zeeve, Z-I-E-V-E. As I say, he was at Pitt Medical School, and he was an intern at Monitor at the time that we had met. He was a very kind man, a sweet personality, real great guy.
Was your parents' home a religious one?
Yes, yes. My father joined Polzetic because it was near where we lived, and he wanted the boys to be bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have bas mitzvahs then for girls, because I know that I was never approached about it.
Mm-hmm.
Though I went to shul with my mother and my father. Pat belonged to Tree of Life, so I went that way with him. And it didn't upset my parents or anything that I had left Polzetic, because they had done it really as a convenience kind of in the beginning. My younger brother, well, I guess both brothers, they weren't what you call, they weren't real Orthodox kids, but they observed, and the holidays were very important to my parents, and so they were to my brothers and me, and Bert, my cousin, whom my mother raised.
You were such a hard-working girl.
I was.
Did that come from your home?
We all were. My brother Mike, who was in town for the funeral of my sister-in-law, said to me that we all had kind of an excess energy. Izzy, with his drugstores working. Incidentally, he wouldn't let my father and uncles buy him a pharmacy, which they said was wrong on his part. He liked to work for somebody else. He was an awfully good guy, a hard-working man. When he died, I never saw such a funeral in my life as there was for him at Sugar's, because everyone who had ever been his customer, who loved him, came to the funeral. They were firefighters, they were policemen, they were blue-collar workers, everybody. Mike was a very hard worker, and he went into a tool and die works in California that supplied all kinds of the tools and dies for what was necessary part of Rockwell's work and the other manufacturers out there. And he retired a few years ago, and he's now living a very lovely life in Beverly Hills, where he and his wife and two daughters all live. And but even my uncles were hard workers, both my Uncle Sam Krantz and my Uncle Lou Zweig. I had an Uncle Al Zweig, too. And I had another uncle who was never, he was a baker. He was more on that kind of level. He, I don't know that he went to, I think he went to shul at Paul Zedek. Or maybe it was the other one, the Orthodox one on Murray Avenue, down below near Forward.
Charitora.
Mm-hmm.
What about school? From the earliest times, grade school on up, anything that you...
All of us were excellent students, the boys and the girls. We were all very good students. We were hardworking. Our teachers took great interest in us, many of them inviting us to their homes. And I can remember going out to Sewickley, my first trip to Sewickley, to the home of one of the teachers who taught us English. But I loved working at the settlement. I loved working with Miss Ella Wertheimer. She was such a great gal. She never married. She went to the sergeant school in New England. And she was so kind to me all the time. And she had her chauffeur bring me to the settlement to work and take me home.
From Squirrel Hill to
yes,
Center Avenue and back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She, I was like a child to her, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed working in the department stores. I always liked whatever it was that I was doing. It never bothered me a bit. I never felt that I wasn't getting what anybody else got just because perhaps I had to work on a Saturday in a department store. A lot of kids were working in department stores who went to Pitt at that time.
Yeah.
So it really never bothered me. What bothered me was having McCreary's clothes and having to look for something to replace what I had been doing there. But I don't know if you remember the silicosis scare that once took place in Pittsburgh, and it affected that particular department store because they had a dining room where everybody went to get a posh luncheon, and they had the parrots all around in cages. Then they had to get rid of them, and then everybody stopped going to McCreary's.
What was that scare?
Silicosis.
Yes.
Parrot fever.
Mm-hmm.
Parrot fever, okay.
Do you remember it? You're too young.
Yes. Oh, well, I remember hearing
about it.
And I remember working for the gentleman. His family gave him the parrots. They're all wrapped.
Oh, is that so?
It's almost a joke to ask, what did you do for fun and recreation?
Well, for fun and recreation, I joined AE5 at Pitt. The fact that I had so little money to work with wasn't a hindrance to me, because I was always able to make out the amount of dues that was necessary. I didn't ask my father for any money, because I felt that was my responsibility. And I wasn't a goody two-shoes or anything like that, but it was just a fact of life that it was something during the Depression that you didn't put any money into unless you really could afford it. And I just felt that my father had a tough enough job as it was without having to worry about paying any kind of dues for me. I had a very active life in the sorority while I was at Pitt. I wrote all the... We had to engage the various groups in a competition for song recitals, dance recitals, all kinds of things that were going on. I usually wrote the music and the songs for the dance recitals and the song recitals, and I had no problem that way at all. I still see some of the girls today that I had known that long ago, and I'm going back 50 years. But I decided to branch out a little bit more. I felt that I could give them more time than I had been giving them. So So I became a chapter advisor after I graduated from Pitt. And I spent a lot of time in the national field. I had three successive terms as national president. And those were very, very enjoyable years. Last year, I took my niece, the one who just died, and her two daughters with me to Dallas to the convention, and we had a real great time. And they're coming, well, my niece and my sister-in-law won't, but my two nieces will be coming to join me for the convention, which is going to be held in Pittsburgh next year. I traveled all over the country for the sorority. I not only traveled to establish new chapters, but to help with any problems that that might have been occurring where the local chapter advisors couldn't assist. Outside of having the real estate business going at the same time that I was national president, I guess that's about the amount of work that I did. I'd never practiced law, as I told you.
Okay.
Pat wanted me to, but I don't know. It came down to the point where I decided it wasn't my thing. And I really felt very badly because a couple of the men that had gone to take the cram course didn't make the bars. And I felt bad that there I was throwing it away and not using it. Perhaps had I been, I don't know, maybe I was immature. I don't know. But Pat died early. He had Hodgkin's disease. So that as a result, he wasn't around to encourage me. And maybe that's what I needed, was to have him say, look, law is what you studied and law is what you belong in. But I didn't have that. But I did enjoy my real estate work. I truly did. I felt I was a good salesperson. I was a good broker. I ran a nice office. The people that worked for me knew that I wouldn't permit any kind of shenanigans or anything. They had to do a proper job, and above all, they had to be honest all the time with their customers. And that's why I guess I had them as long as I did.
Well, being in the real estate business as you've been over this period of time, would you reflect on the neighborhood when you began and the neighborhood now as you've seen the change?
Well, we have a mixed housing situation, which we didn't have at the time I came into the field. Blacks had certain areas. The Italians had Bloomfield. The Jewish people pretty much stuck to Squirrel Hill. They liked Squirrel Hill. They liked what it had to offer and its closeness to the Civic Center and to downtown. And it was generally a neighborhood that they enjoyed going shopping in and so forth. It really was a very friendly area. And the people that came after my office was open, there were a number of offices that opened because, for the most part, the Jewish people liked good housing, and we discovered that they made for a good clientele. Things are different. I'm in touch with some of the agents. I haven't been in my office as an active participant for 3 years. I had an arteriogram. Something went awry, I don't know what, but I lost most of my vision, so that as a result, I live with a companion, Mrs. Klein. I try to do the best I can. I try to keep up with things, and I am able to read large print, like I get the large print New York Times or the large print Reader's Digest or something. But I'm not what I was, and I'm the first to admit it. But I do enjoy hearing about it. and my agents call me. Many of them still come up to see me. They have joined other offices. They had to in order to belong to an office. But they were trained well, because the people that got them, who are brokers, all have told me over the years that they were very lucky to get such a great staff.
Excuse me, Chuck, will you check the tape to see if you're at the end?